This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, was that a string quartet?
That was an acoustic cover of Stoney's classic intro theme from Eric Sandhoffner.
I feel like Sandhoffner did a string quartet. I thought I heard a cello in there.
Yeah, Eric or Evan, let us know. He said he's been a fan for a decade now. Shout out to 2020.
Jesus.
Which is wild. Thanks for everything we do. And if we could plug his Twitter, it's Evan Sandhoffner. Good luck trying to figure out how to spell that.
I think it's a fucking cool ass name, Sandhoffner.
How would you spell Sandhoffner?
S-A-N-D. H-A-U-F-N-E-R.
It's H-O-E-F-N-E-R.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's hard. H-O-E-N. Yeah, okay.
You're one of those.
Yeah.
Speaking of Twitter handles, Jake, I don't know if you saw.
I saw. Much to my chagrin, actually.
I didn't even give you a heads
up. You changed. No, I had to see it for myself. Just a surprise on New Year's Day.
Yeah, so.
Or actually New Year's night.
For about a decade, my Twitter handle was Jake and Amir, based on an old episode we did where my character, so obsessed with you, wanted to have your name in the Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of worked out because most of the tweets were just about videos we made together.
Correct.
Since then, I've been tweeting, slipping down a dirty rabbit hole of alt-right memes, sort of hateful little asides and asnides, which are snide asides.
Right.
And as I devolve into this K-hole of sorts, I realized I've been representing you, perhaps incorrectly.
Is that really why you decided to leave? Because of all your anti-Semitic hate tweets?
Well, it wasn't specifically that. It just, one thing I never liked is when someone's like, hey, we had Jake and Amir on the show today. Or like, if I did somebody else's podcast, and it was kind of confusing. It was like, wait, so right. Amir is Jake and Amir, but Jake is also Jake Hurwitz. It was a little confusing.
It made a lot more sense when we had the web series. Now we don't even have that. Like, so
that's right.
Even like if they're like, so it's Jake and Amir, why? And then you say, I have a web series, go check it out.
Yeah.
Now it's not even helpful. For that purpose.
So I wanted Amir, which is obviously my Instagram name. That would be ideal, but that's not available,
yeah,
naturally. But Blumenfeld, do you know who had Blumenfeld?
No. Your brother?
My brother had Blumenfeld, twitter.com/Blumenfeld. But he, when he married and had a child, changed his last name.
That's right.
So my brother...
Is he at Blumenrose now?
He went from Blumenfeld to Blumenrose, I think his Twitter name is Ben Blumenrose, and then his Twitter handle was available. So he's like, if you want, when I change it, you can snag Blumenfeld. I'm like, okay, how does that work? He's like, I have to leave it, and you have to take it right away, or else somebody might snipe it.
Right.
And then you have to get somebody to get the Jake and Amir handle, because somebody might snipe that. So I'm like, okay, this is a good time to change it. because...
Who'd you get to snipe the Jake and Amir handle?
I just created a new username that switched to Jake and Amir, and then I changed the Jake and Amir to Blumenfeld, so now my Twitter handle is just Blumenfeld, which is cleaner. The only problem is I'm no longer verified on Twitter.
Oh, interesting. How do you get verified? That's kind of hard, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is quite hard.
You didn't lose any followers. You just don't have the check symbol.
That's correct. So I went to...
Everything's the same.
I went to re-verify, and it was like, yeah, that process is closed. You can't really do that anymore. I was like, all right. Didn't think that far ahead.
Blue check mark is gone.
Gone
Damn,
forever.
You hate to see it, man. I don't know if I can continue to do... the podcast with you at that stage. No, because if it'll be in this fashion where I have a blue check mark and you don't, I just feel like we're not on equal ground in a way. Yeah. I'd prefer, I think, to end our professional relationship so that way I'm not really hosting a podcast with a nobody, if that tracks. I don't know if that makes sense on your end.
It doesn't.
But for me,
yeah, it does not
make
sense. That's
kind of where it has to...
No.
Where it's going to net out, frankly.
I'm still the same person. Obviously, the tweets are all still there. It's just the name is different. This artificial blue check mark, which a lot of people have, is just...
Now you're Blumenfeld, unchecked, unverified, uninteresting, and unadored. Oh, my God. I just went to your Twitter profile. It's just... Actually, it looks kind of cool to have it goes like Amir and then at Blumenfeld right next to it.
Yeah, I changed my name, so it's just Amir, and then my handle is at Blumenfeld. Yeah, it looks clean.
Right,
like
that's
that.
It is clean.
But I without like the check mark.
Yeah, I don't know. It's nasty. It's nasty to see.
And it's nasty for me. Actually, yeah. Speaking of equal footing.
Oh,
your update.
Yeah. You know what? I got the surgery. I lived.
Okay.
That was good.
So what was that about, the foot surgery? You went completely underneath, right? You were like out of it.
Yes, I did. But I don't know exactly what the difference is, but like there's general anesthesia and then there's local anesthesia.
Yeah, I think local is like, isn't local just when your foot's numb but you're awake?
Yeah, so they must have done some, I mean, I was definitely out. They just didn't like put my entire body to sleep. They didn't shut it down.
Oh, interesting. So you were more like in a sleep state rather than a coma.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there. I felt like they maybe it's they like put some kind of they put a mask on me. I got tired. I blinked. I was awake. The surgery was over.
Okay, that feels like general to me.
Yeah, but it was local anesthesia.
Okay.
I'll look it up real quick so we're not spewing false information. So, all right. Do you fall asleep during local? Wow, it's really funny. One of the things that got filled in was, do you fall asleep during a nap?
That's a good question.
All right.
What about
local anesthesia? Is given directly over the area where you have your procedure. Your healthcare provider may also give you conscious sedation or deep sedation to help you sleep during your procedure. So I think that is what happened.
What about...
I was sedated.
I see. What about glocal anesthesia?
So that is when... that's when John Wolfe puts you to sleep with a local anesthetic.
Yeah.
But doesn't actually give you the surgery. So you sort of just lose an hour of your time, which isn't illegal.
It's fine.
For him to steal time is not real theft.
Yeah.
And he didn't really... Stealing time is a crime you can get away with.
He didn't do
anything.
Stealing
time is not a crime.
That's right. And he doesn't really do anything. You just sort of like... You lose time and you're confused because you don't know what he did, but ultimately it's nothing.
So what he did was convince the doctor not to give me the surgery. Like I went out and he was like, he's allergic to titanium and I feel like the screws you're going to put in the foot are titanium. And the doctor was like, yeah, they are. And Wolf was like, yeah, he should have said that on the form, but trust me, like I know. So
right.
So like we just have to wait for him to wake up. And then I woke up and it's like, yeah, he stole my time.
So fortunately you did local and not glocal anesthesia. You wake up after your foot surgery. What's the foot surgery specifically? Did they tell you?
Yes, it is. Oh, God damn it. It's hold on. Let me look up what it's called. It's called.
Can't wait. It's going to be so good.
Osteotomy. Okay. Osteotomy.
So that means sounds like they're getting rid of something.
Yes, it was bunion surgery. They got rid of my bunion
on one foot.
Though the bunion itself was not what was causing my pain. Mm-hmm. It's related because when they move the bunion over, when they shift your foot or whatever, they shorten and tighten up the ligaments, and I had ligament damage in my foot.
That's what it fucked up. When they said they went in there and like tinkered around, were like, yeah, we saw the ligament damage.
They did not mention like if they saw the damage. And like shockingly enough, my doctor who did my MRI and was planning on the surgery got into an accident just before my surgery and broke his arm. So I had to have another doctor do it who didn't know me at all.
Oh, God.
And I'm going over it with him and I'm like reading what, you know, they tell you what they're going to do. And it's like, osteotomy, removal of painful bunion. I was like, well, my bunion's not really. I like it. And I'm like, so you're gonna fix like the torn ligaments? And he just looks at me. He's like, the what?
Oh my god! Like, as you're falling asleep,
I'm like in a gown at this point. Like I've driven back to New York City on Christmas Eve. I'm like ready to go into surgery, and he's just like, what am I doing?
Washing his hands, but like not really fully.
Just a quick rinse.
You're not using soap, doc. Call the other guy. Have him fucking explain it to you.
Eating a Kind bar.
Sorry, this is my first day. What do we have to do?
I mean, it did feel like that a little bit. It was weird. But the other nice thing is that, like, since it was Christmas Eve, I was like the only person in the surgery center. And
very
I got
nice.
Like three anesthesiologists, like five different nurses, everybody, I was the only person there. So I was just, I had like many people looking after me, including two Jake and Amir fans.
Yeah. I was going to ask, was everybody there Jewish? Cause that's usually how it works at like my brother's hospital. Like he has to work on Christmas because he gets like Hanukkah off.
I think maybe some people there were Jewish, but not everyone. Definitely not everyone. Because so like, some people were talking about it being Christmas Eve. I got there and someone was wearing like reindeer antlers as part of their
That was scrubs. The doctor.
Yeah. With a bone saw. Rudolph nose and a bone saw.
So you wake up, surgery was a success, basically.
Yes. They say that it went well. I'm back in my room. I'm groggy. They say that they've texted my wife. Jill comes up. I'm chilling in the bed. They give me saltines. They give me apple juice.
I'm a good little boy. I did the surgery good. And sorry, did you say you texted my wife?
I look down at my leg. There's a bloody stump. I look for the doctor, but I only see the Joker.
Have you seen Joker yet, by the way?
No, and I don't think I shall.
I still really want you to see it just to commiserate with you on if you dislike it as much as I do.
I'm certain I will, but I will. I'll see it. I got a screener, so I'll check it out.
So how much pain is there as you leave the hospital?
So after the doctor gives me my pain meds. He tells me to take it easy. He's like, he gives me like all of the post-care stuff. I leave. I walked out using a cane.
Whoa, cane.
Feeling like unsteady, but no pain, completely pain-free. I'm walking. I like went into a rest stop on the way home. It's Christmas Eve. We're driving back to my aunt's house. I get there. I'm thinking like, it's crazy. I had surgery today, and now I'm drinking a beer, singing Christmas carols, pain-free.
Science.
Science. But then, the pain begins around the time the family is gathered around the tree singing Oh Holy Night.
Actually, can you guys knock it off? It really is starting to hurt.
Grandpa Bill.
It's no longer a silent night.
This is an unholy night, to be certain.
So what does it feel like?
The pain just starts. It's like, it really, it felt like someone stuck a letter opener into the sole of my foot and wrapped it up really tight with tape.
Jesus. Like, on the inside or on like the outside of it?
On the inside of my foot. It is like a hot throbbing pain. Like
he left a pen in there by accident.
It felt like, in my head, like I'm imagining if I unwrap my bandage that like it's just an infected wound stapled shut tied with bubble gum. It felt like my foot was trying to explode out of the bottom. It was like, so I instantly go home. And I,
are you in a sour mood?
I was not like sour mood, but sort of just like silently freaking out.
You're like, oh, like, God, what if something is wrong?
Yeah, my sister was just like talking to me, and she's like, you seem like you're handling everything really well. And I was like, I actually need to go home. I appreciate that, but I need to go home now.
It's hard because you don't want to alert everyone else, but you also don't want to act like so like proud and confident that they think that everything's fine. You're like,
yeah,
I'd look calm, but I want you to know that if you were in this pain, you'd be like crying a lot. So like that's the severity here.
I don't want to freak anyone out, but I don't want to ruin Christmas, but everyone needs to take care of me post haste. I don't want to make this about me, but I need help a lot.
So what, do they give you stronger pain medicine so you can go back on the...
Yeah, so I got something called hydrocodone. It's like an opioid. It's like Percocet, I think. It's like...
It's the shit that wrestlers get addicted to.
Yeah, and... Part of the issue was that Jill, even like seeing that I was getting an opioid, was so nervous about me taking it that she really didn't even want me to take them at all.
Oh, like because you might get addicted.
Yeah. So I'm in a ton of pain and I like take one and Jill is just like so apprehensive, just like watching my every move. And it's like a couple hours later, I'm like trying to go to sleep. I need another one. And she's treating me like I'm addicted already.
Can you just take an emergency instead? Maybe we have an airborne gummy.
Yeah, she just wants me to ice it and go to bed. I'm like, I truly can't sleep. It feels like someone is not. It feels like a raccoon is eating the sole of my foot. So I wake up the next morning. I barely sleep. It's like maybe I slept for 2 hours.
This is Christmas morning.
Like the whole of the night. Yeah, and everything I say about getting surgery the day before Christmas because of how much attention they pay to you is actually bad on Christmas when you feel like something's gone wrong because no one is there. Like the surgical center is closed. They're like, if you are having problems, go to the emergency room, basically.
Right. And
like,
then
I don't
want
to go to the emergency
there?
Room on Christmas.
Right.
I call my doctor. They're obviously closed. They give you like the doctor's cell phone numbers, but it's 7 a.m. And I texted my doctor. Then I called the other one who had broken his arm. Eventually, they get back to me at like 9 or 10 a.m. And the doctor who had broken his arm was just like, I think what happened is they wrapped the bandage too tight. So like your foot is really inflamed. If the bandage is too tight, it doesn't matter how many pain meds you take. It's probably not going to do anything.
Oh, so he has a theory, does he?
Yeah. So I unwrapped the ACE bandage. There's three bandages on my foot. There's like the main one covering the stitches. There's like gauze wrapped around that, and then there's an ACE bandage wrapped around that. So I take the ACE bandage off, instantly feel better.
Oh wow.
Not like everything is cured, but like the pain medication that I was taking started to work then.
Yeah, because nobody's then, like, squeezing your open like wound, basically.
Right, exactly. And then it sort of started coming back, and I cut, this is another thing the doctor said I could do, I cut the top of the gauze just to relieve some of the pressure even from that.
Jesus.
And instantly felt better.
Oh.
But then even though they had said that I'd be able to walk in like a walking boot, I couldn't walk for, I guess it's been maybe two weeks now, almost 2 weeks now. And I can't walk, but I can't like, I can, I think I'll be able to walk like tomorrow. I've been like hobbling a little bit when I need to.
So like,
but I haven't really, I've essentially completely stayed off it where when they talked to me about the surgery, they were like, yeah, you'll be like in a walking boot the day after surgery.
Yeah. And like start running, start jogging around now.
Yeah. That's, I mean that there's like no way that's happening. It's so tender. But, today was the first day where I feel like I've been walking on the boot. It feels all right.
Are you off the opioids?
Yeah, I truly because Jill was so nervous that it was like, it was not worth it to me. So I was taking Tylenol and it was, the pain wasn't that bad. I had like other meds for the inflammation, which seemed to be the more painful thing anyway.
Showering?
I got a sponge bath the first week and now I've graduated to, I can bathe myself. I just put my foot outside the shower with a garbage bag wrapped in it and I can shower myself.
But you have to stand on one foot the whole time?
I just sit in the tub and I drape my foot over the side, and like, give, it's sort of like a half shower bath.
Yeah. And at what point do the stitches go away or you can take actual showers?
They're coming out tomorrow.
Oh, so then you can, in theory, yeah, wear a real shoe?
In theory, if the swelling's gone down enough, the doctor thinks I could wear a sneaker, which is weird because like the boot that they give you, it feels like it's less comfortable on my foot than if I just was wearing like an Ultra Boost.
Right.
Like the sneakers I wear are pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
I guess the thing that this cast has is like, it has a really rigid bottom, so I can't bend my toes.
Right, which prevents no, like, stretching motion of the wound.
Yeah, exactly.
So tomorrow's the big day.
Tomorrow, the stitches either come out tomorrow or stay in for another week.
Wow, Groundhog's Day. What are you hoping for?
I guess I don't mind the stitches in another week. I like showering with a plastic bag over my foot.
It's just a bag.
It's just a bag, after all. Once that's done, I think once I can start walking on the boot too instead of the crutches, it'll feel a bit better. What's interesting about getting like a physical injury is like all of the things that stressed me out or bummed me out before seem like they're not a big deal anymore, which I think is kind of nice.
It's put things in perspective.
Yeah, like now I'm thinking like, oh, as soon as my foot feels better, everything is good. Whereas before I was like, oh, it, like this work, it's all stressing me out. It's all too much.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, now it's only my foot that's too much. Everything else is manageable once you're healthy.
As long as it
how bad could anything be? As long as if I can walk there.
As long as it doesn't feel like someone is branding the bottom of my foot for an entire night.
That's really
it's a good way to keep perspective in the new year.
Yeah, I should just like stab myself in the foot every once in a while. Every time I have another panic attack, I'll just stab myself in the foot.
I also like the idea of you texting your doctor who has a fully broken arm. And you're like, my foot really hurts. Like, what should I do about it? And he's like texting you back in like full body cast.
Yeah, that I love that doctor so much. He's so good. He was so concerned.
Good man. Anyway,
he's definitely going through his own shit. He's Jewish, so he wasn't celebrating Christmas, at least.
All right, let's take a break here, and then we'll come back and try to answer some questions. For this is, If I Were You, an advice show, the only one on the internet, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
And we'll be back after these. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right,
you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's betterhelp.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Aunt's a little sooner than five.
Gross. Yeah, you know what? I think we should mention ways to help Australia from burning if we can.
Yeah, LA was burning a few months ago, and now the entirety of Australia seems to be consumed in hundreds of brush fires that burn across its coastline.
Yeah, and all I think about is my goddamn foot. I love Australia. Let's try to help them if we can. You looked up some places where people can donate, right?
Yeah, Australian Red Cross, Salvation Army Disaster Appeal, and everything is just pretty much one Google search away. So find a way to donate. Every little bit helps.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm donating 48 cents.
What?
Cool. Cent. I just think it's important that
you sent a
both of us
a stamp. You sent a single
stamp. I think it's important
stamp.
That both of us, we can't just say like, oh, donate, and then we're not donating.
Yeah, so I think we should give, we can give from the podcast a couple $100. People just heard some advertisements. No. We can just give a percentage of that at 48 cents.
I wouldn't want to, I'd hate to.
48 cents.
I'd hate to dip into my nest egg too much.
You just said that you had a new lease on life. You wanted to put things in perspective. You realized that there are bigger problems
out there.
That's why
I gave fucking two quarters, essentially.
Not really even two quarters. Less than that.
Yeah, well, I could.
Deliberately less than that. Why don't you just say 50 cents?
You're going to nickel and dime me out over 2 cents? Fine. I'll give an extra two. Right. So that would that make you knock it off?
Nickel and
you're
dime
me
is...
feel like a...
That's basically what you gave. You gave... Yeah, you gave less than nickels and dimes, 48 cents. So little.
Fine. All right, we'll do it from the podcast. Send it to me first, and I'll send it to Australia.
Coward. all right, new year, new us. I asked on Reddit. That's right, throwing it back. We have a very active subreddit. If you haven't been hanging around there, it's r/Jake and Amir. People still hanging out in there. And in fact, I asked if anybody had any questions for today's episode, hit us there. We got about 70 of them overnight.
Nice.
That's right. So if you're looking to connect with some other Jake and Amir fans, I know my Twitter handle is different, but Jake and Amir fans still exist on our subreddit. Here's some questions. All right, first one from Dublin Yay.
Very good.
Hey, Amir in the Pinch. I just started re-listening to the podcast to make my commute more bearable, and I noticed how much more mature you guys got from 7 years back. Do you ever listen to old eps? And if so, what do you think of your old selves? P.S. Go Bills.
Dang. Do you ever listen to old episodes?
I don't. I'm kind of nervous to.
What makes you nervous about it?
Like, what if we were a lot happier then?
I mean... I don't think I was, but
we were definitely more carefree.
Yeah. Do you feel like, though, that you always feel more carefree when you look back on stuff?
Yeah, because...
Like, I'm sure that I had cares. I wasn't like... Things weren't... I was stressed about money back
then. Yeah, you were just stressed about different things. But, like, I guess every year you get older, you get a little more weighed down with, like, responsibility. In college, you don't have very many. When you get out of college, you're figuring stuff out. 10 years after that, you have more responsibility. House payments, car right. payments, health issues.
Yeah, that is fair.
So I would assume we were like lighter.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I mean, maturity, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I personally was less mature. You were always kind of mature.
Yeah, I was kind of a dorkus back then, but I wonder if that comes through in our podcast. I don't know, maybe we should listen to like episode 14 and see what we sound like.
Didn't we listen to like an early question one time? We listened to like something from a long time ago.
Yeah, and our voices were pretty much the same. And I was like, it seems the same to me. Let's stop listening now. Please turn it off.
Yeah. Please. I don't want to. I want confirmation that I was glad then.
I don't want to grow. I don't want to grow as a person is all.
So we don't listen, but we should. It might be healthy or it might make us cripplingly depressed.
That's
so.
Cool. Molotov Beta writes, how does it feel like to fulfill the fantasy of being a diva roach named Yugo? Follow up, what was the best, quote, day off you've had recently?
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the first question's for Yugo. How did it feel like to fulfill the fantasy of being a diva roach named Yugo?
It was
fun.
Did you
know you were going to be a diva roach when you started?
I knew I was going to be like a slippery little elf man who is constantly trying to troll and ruin things, but I didn't realize I'd be successful in my mission.
It is crazy how much chaos you wrought
in 44 straight minutes. So that was fun. It was fun to see just the like the details of D&D. I didn't realize how much like actual dice rolling and luck is involved.
Yeah, and you were lucky in fucking us.
Yeah, I hit the big numbers when I needed to.
What was the best day off you've had lately?
I don't know. I feel like we've had 3 months off. We like this is our first day back. Ask me what my favorite day of work has been recently.
Yeah, the holidays are insane. It's like once Thanksgiving starts, you're like, we're essentially off till
nobody's
New Year's.
Working. Nobody's working.
But we worked pretty hard through November and December, I think, this year.
It's been like three straight weeks of Sundays, basically.
Yeah. I guess since December 18th, we haven't done anything.
Best
cool.
day off. What a sad day.
Well,
see, I told you we
were
sadder now.
Well, because after my surgery, I couldn't walk at all. My family we went away for like a long weekend for Christmas. My immediate family plus significant others, and they like had stuff to do. They like went to a winery, they went on hikes, they went on walks, they went into the town, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even like, it even hurt to be upright on my crutches because like the blood would flow into my foot and it would just be really painful. So I straight up had to just lie on a couch all day and read my book, and it was so nice.
Yeah, it's like forcing you to be lazy for your own self good. So it's none of the guilt right. of laziness.
Yeah, because I think sometimes when you have a day off, you're like, even if you're like, I'm not going to do anything today, I'm just going to watch TV and read all day. Like noon, 1 p.m. rolls around, you're like, Jesus, I haven't even left the house. I really got to at least take a walk. I got to do something. But not me.
In fact, I think my foot still hurts 7 months later.
It's been 9 months, Jake.
I have a toe ache.
You have an ingrown toenail now.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. Like, can you imagine like working out again, like sprinting and doing squats? Like, doesn't that seem so far away?
It does, but that's also like what I fantasize about. That's why I got the surgery, because doing exercise where I bent my foot and like pushed off was like not painful in a way that made me not do it. Like I still did run, but it didn't feel that great. I had to like go through the pain. If I can like go on a jog pain-free, I'll feel ecstatic. Like I want to do squats. I want to do high-intensity workout.
Do you have to get the surgery on your other foot if this is successful?
No, because my other foot doesn't have any pain in it anymore.
Hmm. All right.
I think some people do if they have bunions that are painful in each foot, but mine and my right foot is fine. My feet will look weird, I think, because I'll have a big bunion on my right foot, nothing on my left.
Oh, that's cool.
But aside from that, shit's fine.
Crasis Really Moorish writes, "Hey dudes, quick question. Do you wash your legs in the shower? I do, but my flatmates think it's overkill and that the water just washes that bit. Am I weird? P.S. Any plans to come back to London?"
Wait, say that again?
Do you like actively wash your legs with soap, or do you just like let the water trickle down and that's pretty much good enough?
What do you do?
Before I admit to something gross, let me know what status quo.
I have a theory on what you do.
I wash like my private parts and then invariably my thighs and quad area. I don't think I bend down and like scrub my calves.
Oh, interesting. I put soap all the way down to my ankles, but I do not wash my feet.
Yeah. And it seems fine. Like the water and the soap trickles downhill.
Yeah. It just seems like kind of risky to be standing up in the shower, go one foot and like put soap and make the bottom of your foot super slippery. Yeah.
Do you need to actively clean the bottom of your foot? I imagine that's the cleanest part of your body. You just put it in a sock.
Yeah. But I mean, it definitely gets sweaty. It's kind of nasty.
That's true. All right, I'll give myself a foot scrub. Thanks, Crake, for us more really Moorish.
Yeah, we should do that.
Bayco underscore AU writes, "Hey, is there anything you wanted to show or film on Jake and Amir that you were unable to?"
Oh, there. I remember I wrote an episode that took place in IAC before we moved across the country. Mm. And we never ended up filming it. And then it never made sense to do it in LA. And then we ended the series before we ever got to do it. The only thing that I remember about it was like a Jake and Amir where I was going home to Connecticut for the weekend and you were coming along with me for like a road trip.
Oh.
I remember it now. Okay. So the joke that I remembered that I wanted to make is like you somehow like bump me out of the way and you're going to be the driver. And then you sit in the car and then you're like, "Oh damn, this is unfortunate." And I go, "What?" And you say, "I'm a righty." And I'm like, "What?" And you say, "This is a left-handed car."
Cut to an accident where it flips five times.
And I think that was the premise because I remember we were going to do an episode that was us upside down in a car.
That's right. I do remember that idea where it starts with an accident and then the rest of the episode or even multi-parters, us waiting for the ambulance to arrive and we're upside down.
Right. So that was the premise. And that was why we didn't film it before we left, because getting a car upside down turned out to be impossible. It wasn't going to be able to happen. Mm. But yeah, the beginning was that you were going to try to go home with me for the weekend.
All right, there you have it. It's not like anything special effects, just the idea of me going home with you that we never shot.
Yeah, well, I mean, the entire thing. But the only thing that I remember is that I liked the joke of you thinking that there was right-handed and left-handed cars.
Bad username NabBadU writes, "Hi, friends. My girlfriend and I have the perfect relationship. One thing we are debating at the moment is if we should hyphenate our last names when we get married. Our last names are Lee and Lou. She wants to hyphenate it to Lee Lou. I don't want to hyphenate it at all. I don't care if she wants to keep her last name or take mine. I just don't want the last name to be Lee Lou. I think it sounds childish and sing-songy, and our children, if any, will get bullied for it. Thoughts?"
I guess I agree.
Lee Lou.
I mean, it's kind of cool. I think it's just, but if you're not into it, I don't think that it's the right move.
Yeah. I mean, I did get a Twitter name out of my brother doing this, a similar, although they didn't go hyphenate. They went like a combo. Amalgamation. Yeah.
And it's not like his wife wanted to and he didn't, or the it was a mutual decision that everyone was into.
A compromise. This one seems to be a Lilu based non-compromise.
Yeah. So if I'm fully against, she's fully for, I don't think that the person who wants to change the name or to combine the name is allowed to win.
Yeah.
It's the person who wants status quo gets to keep the name.
What about the last name of Quo?
Status quid pro quo.
My status is Quo, as is my last name. John
as is
Quo.
The quid.
Hi, Pinch and Amir. I've recently racked up $15,000 of credit card debt and need to start living within my means to pay my money back. Amir, you mentioned something like a 3-7-10 plan a while back, but what other money-saving techniques did you two use as poor 20-somethings? Yeah.
What was the 3-7-10 plan?
$3 for breakfast, $7 for lunch, and $10 for dinner is $20 a day on food.
Oh, I see.
I think that was like when I first moved to New York, and the idea of spending $7 on lunch anymore is like seemingly impossible. Sandwiches used to cost $7, and now they're like $14.50.
Right.
$10 on dinner is also funny.
If you entirely eat at a bodega in New York, you could definitely do it. Just like, I think you could get a $5 to $6 sandwich.
For some reason, like bodega breakfast sandwiches never cost more than like $1.50. Like everything else has gone up 80% to 200%. Yeah. But like a bacon, egg, and cheese will always be $1.75.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's amazing. New York's the best.
But then if you go to like another restaurant, it's like, yeah, this salad is $18.
Right. Yeah, this isn't a bodega salad. This is sweet green, and it costs $14 for this.
For a bowl.
If you want there to be protein in it, you better cough up another $8.
I mean,
did you say salmon? That's $1,000.
That's an $18 salad, but did you want grilled chicken on the chicken salad? That's another $9.
Dark meat chicken? That's $12, and you have to be my servant.
For avocado, that's another $18 salad.
And your firstborn.
Making your own food is a very classic way of saving cash. Like, it is kind of sad. I mean, I guess it's just sad to me to like make a salad at home, bring it in and eat it while everyone else goes out. Like going out for lunch is like a fun way to break up your day. But some people really do take great joy in making their own lunches.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I made my own lunch today. It was nice. Yeah. I like that every once in a while. It's especially because I very rarely make myself an unhealthy lunch. So like when I'm cooking for myself, it tends to be healthier.
Yeah.
Than if I'm going out, because if I'm going out, I'm like, oh, I should get a salad. Oh, but there's a BLT, so that's what I want.
Yeah, it's always better when you pay more. But then if you think about it, like, all right, you're saving $8 per meal times like 30 meals a month. You're saving a lot of money.
Right. Exactly. And if you're trying to do that, you can definitely do that.
Hey, Jake and Amir, a few quick questions, writes Joswinski. Wipe while standing or sitting, bidet or no, shaver, wax, alcohol or weed, toda, jizz.
I love that, jizz, nice. sitting.
Of course.
I don't have a bidet, but I do love a bidet. Like when I visit HeadGum LA and there's a bidet, oh baby.
Do we have a bidet in the New York office yet?
Not yet, actually. I should do that.
Alcohol or weed?
Alcohol. I don't like weed at all.
That rhymes.
Mm. Oh, wow. I've not stopped rhyming. Bidet, yay. Alcohol, I don't like weed at all. What was the other question? Jizz?
Actually, you're more, you're more of a Vicodin man now.
Fair.
Did you start like, I remember when Avital got eye surgery. She's like, I can see why people like painkillers. Like, it makes you feel a lot better very fast. Can you understand why it's such like a addiction issue?
Honestly, I guess I can. Like, it was interesting because the painkiller made my foot feel a bit better, but it didn't eliminate the pain. But if I had any other, like if I had like a crick in my neck, I wouldn't have it if I took the painkiller.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very strong. So like small aches and pains do kind of go away.
Yeah, it really is. Like I remember getting it for like my neck thing. They would give me like a intravenous hydrocodone or whatever. And I was like, this feels so good. I guess that's why people love heroin.
Right. I never got that feeling from it. But I'm sure...
You should take more.
It does make sense. Yeah, okay. I have another thing, but first I want to know if you wipe sitting down or standing up. I already know the answers here, I think, though.
Yeah, sitting. I don't understand how you can wipe standing up. It clenches your butt cheeks shut.
Yeah, it's bizarre. You're also... I guess you like alcohol more than weed, but you don't really like either.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like when I was drinking more, I probably preferred alcohol, but now that I'm like a little more of an indoor cat, maybe I do prefer marijuana, though I rarely do both. But like, if you were to force me to like go home and ingest one or the other, I think I would prefer weed at this point because it like mellows right. you out.
Well, if we were, I think that there are two different things too, though. Like if we were to give you the choice of go out and get a drink with some friends or go home and smoke weed and watch a movie or something, which I guess those, that's just like how I imagine those drugs working. Like if you're staying at home, it's weed. But if you're going to go out, it's alcohol. Like which kind of night would you prefer?
Yeah, probably.
Home being baked or out being drunk?
Probably home just because of the lack of hangover too.
Right. And so this, for Christmas, I got Jill LASIK.
Whoa.
Yeah. She hasn't gotten it yet. that was the gift that I'm
a promise going of it.
Yeah. Well, I got her, I like booked her a consultation and set it all up.
Wow. Does she want it?
She does want it, but now she's scared.
Of course.
But she went, she got the consultation. She is a candidate. They said it would work. But now she's like, she's sort of nervous.
Yeah. I think Jeffrey's also like in the same space where he's like, he's a candidate and he's was going to get it, but then he had to push it and is thinking about it as well.
What, like, it's crazy to me for, I mean, especially for you. So like, do you recommend it across the board if someone is a candidate?
Yeah.
Or you like, it's not for everyone.
I mean, it is not for everyone because it's like somebody pushing and prodding. Some people are like, I don't want anybody close to my eyes ever. I can't have that. Like, oh, it freaks me out for somebody to get that close. It is very invasive. Right. It's not painful, but yeah. Somebody is pushing, pulling, squeezing, slicing your eyeball for sure.
Totally.
But sure. The idea of not having to wear contacts or glasses anyway and ever again was worth it to me.
Cool. You should FaceTime Jill for me.
Is she like nervous about the actual procedure of it?
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right.
It is a laser in your eye.
Last question. I'm looking for a good one.
Okay. Hmm. 70 questions and they're all garbage. Thanks for nothing, Reddit.
Some of them are about basketball. I don't want to end on a basketball one.
Right.
Some of them are about if I ever want to do D&D again. I feel like we covered D&D. Oh, here. Oh, wow. Jake, what's your?
I want to answer this other one, but yeah, go ahead. It sounds like you might have found it.
Is it the favorite poem?
Yes, that's what I want to read.
All right, Jake, what's your favorite poem? I read good poems cover to cover after you suggested it, and now I have an English degree? ? Anyway, Jake, favorite poem? Amir, any good reading recommendations these days? Love you guys, and hope you're well, especially Jake's mom.
I have a couple favorite poems. I'll give my top two.
Okay.
I unabashedly love Mary Oliver. I think she's buy any Mary Oliver book and it's filled with great, great poems. But Wild Geese, one of her more famous ones, is up there as one of my favorite poems. My other is First Lesson by Philip Booth. That one is in the book Good Poems. Which is like a curated book of poems. But I think that's my top favorite poem of all time.
Will you recite a few passages for us? I'm really curious to hear just the first do us the favor and just recite the stanza, first stanza, or maybe the first half of it. If there's...
Yeah, I guess I'll do
from that. Memory, please.
I don't know it from memory. First Lesson by Philip Booth. Lie back, daughter.
We're out of time.
Let your... Okay, of course. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. If I were you, if I were you.
You can keep going if it's actually enjoyable.
No, it doesn't matter. So if you're into poetry, you should read it. I don't want my favorite poem of all time to be tainted with haters. So if you're really interested, check out First Lesson by Philip Booth. And then let me know on Twitter how much you liked it. And if you didn't like it, you can go fuck off because that's beautiful. What about you? What's your favorite? I guess what books are you reading now? You don't like poetry, right?
No, I never got into poetry. I read it. It confuses me. It like pisses me off a little bit. I'm like, why is this good? I don't get it. Am I stupid? I get like anxious and annoyed at like why people like this thing and I can't quite understand it.
That happens with me with a decent amount of poetry, and then sometimes it doesn't. I think that's like liking poetry, actually. You might just be a good critic. You might enjoy it if you find a poem you like.
Yeah, to be fair, I haven't given it much of a shot. Avital is always trying to get me into poetry because she likes it too.
Oh, I should share poems with her. That's nice.
Don't fucking talk to her about poetry. Amir, any good reading recommendations?
Give us something to talk about.
I've been reading, what's that?
Nothing.
I've been in this habit of reading a book, starting strong, and then slowly grinding to a halt and stopping to read it before it ends. And the most recent version of that is I'm reading, Dan Gurwitch told me to read Norm MacDonald's biography that he wrote. And it's kind of like absurd. It's barely even real, but he writes in a very funny way because it's Norm MacDonald. I think it's called a memoir. Right.
That's good.
I read half of it so far, and it is indeed very funny, as is Norm MacDonald. So I guess I could recommend it at this point. Norm MacDonald's A Memoir.
Nice.
All right. First episode in the books of the new year, of the new decade. Thanks so much for everybody for listening, whether you started in 2013 or if this is your first episode.
For real.
Opening theme song was written by Evan. This closing one comes from Iceland.
Finally. I fucking love it. I want to go shake the hand of whoever wrote it, because I love Iceland so much.
It's Egil Sigursveinsson. So,
of course.
Thanks, Egil. Thanks to you guys for listening. If you have your own questions or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We should also mention that we put Lonely and Horny Season 1 on our Patreon.
Shit, we should have done that at the goddamn top. But yeah, Lonely and Horny Season 1. It's all out there on Patreon right now.
Yeah, our Patreon now is like 30 or so Jake and Mir Watch episodes, 30 or so If I Were You bonus video episodes, and now all of Lonely and Horny Season 1.
Yeah, so if you were waiting to support us until we had a library worth supporting, I think we've reached the threshold.
I think this is a library.
Okay. This is our life's work.
For Christ's sake. Sweet. Thanks to you guys for listening, and we'll be back, of course, next week. Ciao, everyone.
Hey, dude.
Hey.
How was your day?
It didn't really go well. It didn't go great.
Tell me what's wrong. Are you okay?
No, man. No way. So, I got beat up by a kid. He was 7 years old. I was on my first date. She saw it all. Do you think it's all good? Think I still have a chance?
Dude, I'm not the right person to ask. When I was in trouble and shat my pants in front of my family and all of my friends, I heard of two Jews sharing their views on what they would do if they were you.
So I'll seize the cheese and write the little piece. I hope I get an answer that will put my mind at ease. Cause I want my grand to seize such a tease. I'll never forget how she left me in the leaves.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.